This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to Songs with Friends, episode 28, here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how are you now?
I'm good. I feel like we haven't been on in a while. How are you?
I'm good. Just patiently waiting for the chance to record another fun-filled episode of Songs with Friends.
Just realizing I don't even have my next pick ready. Sorry.
You are just dropping the ball.
I know.
Well, Hugo the podcast pup has finally settled in. Put on some terrible-looking NBC sitcom to keep him company while we record, and hopefully we can get through this without too many interruptions. So you ready to get into this?
I'm ready.
All right. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Jeez, ow, we're off to a rousing start here, guys.
We've been off too long.
We have. Our form is rusty. It's been a while since we've done this without the aid of adult beverages.
Yes, I've been on a drinking hiatus.
Alrighty, so our first song is Kelly's pick. It's kind of an interesting history. Originally recorded and released in 1976, this is Bob Seger's Night Moves from the album, which is also called Night Moves. I say this kind of has interesting history because the music video was not put out until 1994, 18 years later. I have no idea why the delay was there. Kelly, did you look into that at all?
No. Because it's classic rock. You could just, it never goes bad. So I don't know. I didn't even notice that. So no, I didn't know why there was a delay like that.
Yeah, the brunette girl from Melrose Place was in the music video, and he recorded the song in 1976.
That's crazy.
The kid from Roseanne, the Big Bang Theory guy, David, or Johnny Galecki, he was in the video.
Yeah. I wanted to call him David, too.
And neither one of those people were around in 1976.
No, they probably weren't even born, for sure. Yeah. No, that is interesting. Considering, I think Bob Seger was big back then. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's interesting.
Night Moves was his first hit since 1969, which is crazy to think that, A, he's been making music since the 60s.
Yeah, I was going to say, how old is he?
But also that he went 8 years or 7 years without a hit and then just jumped right back in like nothing happened.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. No. Huh. That's interesting. You did much more research than I did.
Well, one of us has to be a professional here.
Yeah,
Kelly.
You're the professional between us. I know. Yeah, it is on here. I'm reading about it on Wikipedia. Matt LeBlanc. And yeah, interesting. I didn't really know. That's interesting, Steve. I'm gonna research that after, just for my own knowledge.
Right. So, do you want to get us into the lyrics, ma'am?
Okay. Yes. And I was torn on Bob Seger. I kind of wanted to do Turn the Page, but I thought this song had more I don't know, substance, I guess. But anyways, do you like Bob Seger?
I do. My dad used to go see Bob Seger every year. Up until probably like 2007, Bob Seger would come to town every year and my dad would go. And he would get the $40 concert t-shirt every time. And it just blew me away that he would do it. Like, he had 18 identical t-shirts.
Like the same t-shirt?
Pretty close.
That's amazing. Do you think he still has them somewhere? That's pretty amazing.
You know, if you're familiar with the comedy stylings of one Jeff Foxworthy, then you'll know that you can tell where the redneck has been for his last 25 vacations just by looking through his closet.
I have not heard that.
So I am pretty sure that it is there next to the Galveston 1996 t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, did you get my text earlier? Did you see our friend is at seeing Bob Seger tonight?
Yes, the world famous, most interesting man in the world, J. Arsenio D'Amato, is currently, as we record this, enjoying the live Bob Seger experience.
Yes. That's amazing to me. He's always checking out cool stuff, but I thought that was cool. So awesome. Okay. Well, we'll get started. I'm sure you're going to, I'm interested to see your thoughts on this song. So, okay. And I was going to say, do you remember this song from a lot of shows or movies or no?
Probably the Wonder Years. Like that's where I heard most, songs from this era.
Okay.
But it would have, like this song would have come out after the time frame of the Wonder Years, but at the same time, you know, they did play with some creative license there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I kept thinking, and you wouldn't know this because I don't think you ever watched the OC, but like they definitely used this song on that show, and I kept thinking about the scene that this was in that show, but I know I have seen it on lots of different things, but all right, let's get started. Hugo's busy now, huh? He's up?
He's pitter-pattering.
All right, so he has, I was a little too tall, could have used a few pounds, tight pants points, hardly renowned. I'm sorry, that just...
You know, I thought that was a misprint on Google, so I went to Genius, and it's there too.
I know, so that's what I was going to ask you, is that what you got? Like, those were the same lyrics that you got?
Yes.
Okay. I'll go to the next part, too. I'm just going to do this all at once. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points all her own sitting way up high, way up firm and high. So, I mean, I don't know. This is, again, one of those songs. My parents always listen to classic rock, so I heard all these songs, and I never would have thought this was about any shenanigans going on. I just, you know. But, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, the part about I feel like he's talking about her boobs, like her points up high, they're firm and high, right?
I don't know. I thought ass.
Oh, well,
although it could also be, because there's like a pause there. He's like, yeah, way up firm and high, baby.
Yeah.
And
so I was like,
I think ass because of the points thing. I think that's some kind of pants reference. Tight pants, points, hardly renowned. And then it says, and points all her own. So I don't know.
Oh, okay, because I was thinking points like your nipple. I don't know. So
it could be. Know. I mean, it is a theater in the summertime, so it's not terribly cold outside to be that hard and pointy.
Yeah, yeah. And I always feel like this, well, I don't know, when was this in the 70s this song was made?
Yes.
I always think of those like my brothers when they were in high school, they were all like, a lot of those guys were like real skinny and tall, you know, like they were all so skinny than all the girls. And whenever I was thinking of this, I was thinking like my one brother, he was just like, he looked like some of those Motley Crue or, you know what I mean? And I was just like, he always looks sick. But you got anything else to add to this part?
No,
they're going to be getting it on.
They are. I mean, that is accurate. The skinny thing in my prom picture, which I posted to Twitter yesterday to cheer up our good, close personal friend, Lane. I was, God, like 145 pounds or so in that picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Just ridiculously skinny.
Yeah.
And yeah. To me, that really helps open the book and set the scene, so to speak. I was a little too tall, could have used a few pounds. Like, right away, you know you're dealing with an adolescent boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wearing his tight pants because it's fucking 1970, whatever.
Yeah. Like, you don't even have to assume this is, like, a cowboy. It's just, like, that's how everybody wore pants, you know, back then or whatever. It was, like, yeah. So it starts off, and then we got, you good?
I'm good.
All right, so then he has, out past the cornfields where the woods got heavy, out in the backseat of my 60 Chevy, working on mysteries without any clues, working on night moves, trying to make, I'm just going to read this all at once, sorry, trying to make some front page drive-in news, working on the night moves in the summertime. So I think everybody could kind of relate to this, I hope. No. When I was growing up, we went to the drive-ins a lot. Like, and I guess, did you have a drive-in where you lived when you were in high school?
Yes, but we never, ever went there.
Really? Okay, so my friends and I would go, and like we would, because it was cheap, you could watch like two movies, and we would take, you know, alcohol. You could just like, no one paid attention to what you were doing there. And, but it was more fun when you went on just like a date, you know, because then you can, you know, car loving, I guess, is that's probably more a teenage thing than I think an adult thing for the most part.
Kelly is encouraging the youths of the generation now to go to the drive-in and engage in some premarital relations.
We don't even have a drive-in, so, you know, You don't have to. Well, you don't have to have a drive-in, but I mean, what do you do when you're a kid?
You read and do your homework and get your GPA up so you can go to a good college.
When you're 18.
That's the most important time to get it together. It's the closing stretch. The applications really are turned in and colleges are watching.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, you should have fun too, because when you grow up, you don't get to do this kind of stuff. You think you're going to grow up and get to do all this fun stuff, but it doesn't always happen that way. So what you got? You got anything to add here?
All right. Out past the cornfields where the woods got heavy.
Oh.
Out in the back of my 60 Chevy. He's driving deep into the wilderness here to take advantage of this young girl. And I love this line, though. Working on mysteries without any clues. Working on our night moves. You know, he's making out. It's, you know, when you're that young, you know, you got the hormones going, but you don't know what the hell you're doing.
No.
It's almost like trying to fucking program a VCR, just hitting buttons and seeing what works.
Hoping you don't offend somebody.
Exactly. It's such a, especially the kids now that are so inundated with instant access to pornography. Like, I can only imagine what these poor kids are going for these days.
Oh, yeah.
These poor girls are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
what is happening? Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of scary, actually.
It's terrifying.
out in the woods in the middle of nowhere in a car. It's like a bad, scary movie scene, too.
Yeah, I just remember thinking some of the dumb shit I did, and mine was never harmful at that age. It's just, and by that age, I mean 16, 17. I just kind of, you know, filling your way around, so to speak, figuring out what works, what doesn't work. You know,
yeah.
You're going to waste your time a little bit. You're going to get it right. It's going to be great, but that learning curve can be steep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's especially if you're not probably getting to try with, like, the same person a little bit. It's like every time you're trying to figure it out with someone new, that almost seems horrible to me, but whatever.
And working on our night moves into sweet summertime.
Sweet summertime. You know, I saw someone the other day post something like that on Twitter, like, what were the best, you know, I don't know, years of your life or whatever. And I was, you know, I was reading underneath of it. And so a lot of people, it was that time period of being, you know, a late age teen to like their early 20s, you know, because I think it comes with a lot of that, like, no worries, no cares. Like, you know what I mean? You're just trying to, like, you have fun and hang out with your friends and, you know. So it seemed like everybody was that time period. It seemed like most people were like 16 to 22. You know, it kind of seemed like what they were saying was the best time. It's kind of sad too, huh?
I don't speak for those people.
You don't speak for those people. Okay. No. All right. 30s isn't so bad, I guess.
Hey, Dr. Dre said once, it's greater later.
It's greater later. All right. So we got, this is, you know, crazy. Okay, so he has, we weren't in love. Oh, no, far from it. We weren't searching for some pie in the sky summit. We were just young and restless and bored, living by the sword. And we'd steal away every chance we could to use the back room to the alley to the trusty wood. So I was like, dang it, these people aren't even in love. Like, this is just, you know, I'm not very familiar with that type of intimacy of just like, fuck it, we're just trying to figure shit out together. I feel like that kind of took away a little bit on the song for me, to be honest. But I think a lot of people are like that when they're younger, like, because you don't know what love is, or, you know, you start dating someone and you're trying to figure it out. But it's like he's blatantly like, oh, there was no love going on here. We were just trying to get it on.
You know, it was 1976. They were kids. There were three channels. Especially out in the woods past the cornfields, you know, you're probably only going to get two of those channels if you're lucky. And that's if you use an excessive amount of aluminum foil on the old antenna. So you're like, you know what? I'm here. You're here. We don't even have central air yet. So let's live by the sword. And I got your sword right here.
You'll do. Yeah, I got your sword. But it was like, maybe, I don't know, they just had a chemistry. He's like, every chance we got, we were trying it to the alley, the back room. I was like, hey, yeah, they're getting it on.
I could very much relate. That was pretty much how I spent my 16th and 17th year. But this whole idea of to the back room, to the alley, to the trusty woods, like, there's like leeches and broken sticks going in places they don't need to go. And
yeah, what's happening?
It's not a great situation. They're not being careful.
But, you know, again, when you're when you don't have your own place, you know, you're kind of subject to.
He's getting out of the fucking Burger King bathroom like your boy from Digital Underground. The alley. He's got this girl bent over a fucking trash can with a
Yeah,
possum's tail sticking out.
Oh my God, this is so Texas. I was at my friend's house earlier and she's like, I had to kill a possum. Can you smell it? And I'm like, oh my God, have you ever seen a possum?
I had my first encounter with a possum when I was about 15, taking out the trash, and there was one just living in the trash can. It scared the shit out of me. I never seen one. I'm like, what the fuck is that thing? And I ended up having to, like, I had it trapped in there. So I had to knock the trash can off to the side and kick the bottom of it to startle this thing free.
Oh my God.
But yeah, you see them. Just last week, I saw a dead one being dragged across the street by a vulture.
Oh, I feel like they're creepy looking to me. So I was like, oh, but I just don't like to think about them. We got way off track there. Yeah,
That's what happens.
the alley thing is bothersome to me. That'll be a pass situation for
Really
me.
is, especially back then when they had, you know, the metal trash cans. There's a rust component.
All kinds of craziness going on.
Gotta make sure you have your tetanus shots if you're gonna be having unprotected premarital sex in the alley.
Well, everybody did. I don't know if your parents would have had these. My parents had those shots where, like, it looked like there was like 25 needles in their arms. You know, they had like a scar from them. I don't even know what they were for. Did your mom and dad you ever notice that when you were growing up?
No, much like I didn't have the best health care because my parents weren't really responsible. Their parents before them had that same issue.
I don't know that my parents' were that responsible either, but I just remember my dad, you know, he's like, yeah, this was a shot. I mean, and I've seen it on other people. I was like, good Lord, it looked like they took like, I'm gonna have to Google it, but it looked like there would be like 20 needles they just like injected in you at one time and he had a scar.
Now, was your dad in the service at all?
Yeah, well, he was in yeah, sort
That,
of.
yeah, I've heard that consistently with
Okay.
Navy people for sure. I don't know about the other branches.
Yeah.
That they
Well,
required all these shots to do the various job functions.
yeah. Well, even my niece, when she moved with her husband overseas to different countries, there were all these shots they all had to get. You know what I mean? Just like all kinds of stuff, her and the kids. You know, different than just like standard shots we get here. So. Well, you're the medical professional between us, so.
I'm a psychiatric nurse. That doesn't count.
Well, it does more than my job. That's why I said between us. Okay. So then we got, he says, I used her, she used me, but neither one cared. We were getting our share, working on the night moves, trying to lose that awkward teenage blues. Working on the night moves. We got the summertime thing again, which I could totally relate to. I think everybody can't. Now, the used me, used the using each other thing, I think at that, thinking about them being teenagers is a little sad to me, but I think we've all been in that point in life where it's like at that time that person's just what you needed or whatever. But that awkward teenage thing is like a big, I'm still awkward. I'm a you know, adult. So, but I definitely feel that awkward teenage thing is something that most people go through. And anyone I feel like that didn't go through that, like their life is horrible now. Like, you know, there's like really popular people in high school. And then you see them on Facebook and I'm like, nothing's going their way now. So I'd rather have the reverse, but.
Next thing you know, you got your syringe up your butt, a Motel 6.
Oh shit. That was an awesome story. Oh my
Yeah,
goodness.
I'm not, it's nitpicky, but I'm not real big on this verbiage here. I used her, she used me. To me, use is too strong of a word there. If I'm using you, then I'm convincing you that I'm wanting something more than what this is to get you to have sex with me. To me, this is more of a mutual understanding, a friend with benefit type situation.
Yeah, that's
Like,
true.
look, we both know why we're here. Take it or leave it. If you want to, great. If not, that's cool too.
That's true. That's
There's
true.
no manipulation in this arrangement.
Yeah. No, that's true. 'Cause then look at you, Steve. That's a good call.
trying to lose the awkward teenage blues. He is just, like I said, just fumbling his way through figuring out the intercourse. God bless him.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, anyone that would tell me otherwise about that experience in their life, I'd be like, you're full of shit. Everybody, that's something you gotta, that it's interesting.
You gotta get your reps in to get good at it, kids.
Yeah. Oh, but they are making me miss like summer. It's like crazy. Okay. I remember my nephew and Zoe both at some point were like, you work in the summer? Like, you know, when they were little, and I was like, yeah, they're like, oh, I just thought everybody had summer off. It's like, no. Well, my sister-in-law's a teacher, so it's probably, you know, but I'm like, no, I got to go to work. Okay. So he has Endo the Wonder. We felt the lightning and we waited on the thunder. I don't know. What do you got there?
That's about an orgasm.
Oh my God. Why did I even catch that?
Felt the lightning and we waited on the thunder. I think she waited longer than he did. She is sitting on the porch holding her umbrella drier than a motherfucker because that storm never came.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of, probably shouldn't even say this, but, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of women that it took. I mean, I could speak for this. When you first start doing stuff like that, you got to figure out what works for you, you know? So, you know, I don't know that everybody's immediately being like, oh, first time I had an orgasm kind of thing. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm going to withhold a comment on that.
Okay. Probably best. All right. So then he says, I awoke last night to the sound of thunder. How far off I sat and wondered, started humming a song from 1962. Ain't it funny how the night moves when you just don't seem to have so much to lose. Strange how the night moves. And then he has when the autumn closing in. And so I think I kind of talked about that earlier, like the, I don't know. As I get older, like I love when I hear a song and I'm like, it reminds me of like shit when I was younger, whatever it is, you know what I mean? And so, that's just really a lot of what music is to me, period. But I mean, I just feel like you know, I hear a lot of songs. I'm like, man, it takes me back to 2000 or 2002 or whatever it is. So I think in the end, he's looking back on fond memories of this chick that he used and in the alley. In his younger days.
So he's asleep, dead in the middle of the night. Stop. He hears thunder. He wakes up. He says, oh, that's right. I never made her have an orgasm. I wonder if that's the sound. I wonder if she finally got it in.
You're terrible.
And all this went down in 1962. So he started, oh, yeah, let's start humming fucking, you know, Buddy Holly and the Crickets or whatever.
I feel like there was probably, well, maybe not, like a much, that had to be a weird time, like the 70s, and so, you know, like, because there's a lot of peace, love, and happiness going on, and then there's probably still a lot of conservative, wait till you get married kind of things going on, so, you know, be interesting to see how that time period was. All with right.
Bob Seger was born in 1945, so 1962, he would have been 17. 1976, he would have been 31. So here's this 31-year-old man thinking about that underage tail he got back in the day.
Stop.
However, he has gone on record as saying that this song is about a relationship that he had when he was about 19 with a girl that was dating a serviceman who was away for the summer.
So
he was there to scratch the old itch ski for her.
Oh my goodness.
And then when the serviceman came back, that you know, they of course renewed their relationship, got married, and left him sitting there, you know, with his junk in his hand, wondering where everything went wrong.
Yeah.
As happens.
So that would make more sense within the context of like we're using, I mean, I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe that makes a lot more sense now, knowing the behind. They just knew this was like a summer fling.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
At the end of this, you know, the tone changes here. You know, strange how the night, you know, early on, night moves signifies, you know, it's moves you do during the night, you know, making out, having sex, whatever. And now he's changed it. Strange how the night itself moves with autumn closing in. Like, it's signifying the end of a season, the end of a time in his life, like, and really the end of innocence. Now, he's a grown man looking back at this young foolishness he used to partake in and just kind of taking stock of himself. You know, it's strange how things are moving on. You know, regardless of that summer, I knocked off the Marine's wife back in 62.
I hope maybe she wasn't married. Yeah. But I love that line for me when it's like how the night moves when you just don't seem to have that much to lose. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I do think there's like when you're young and time is like, I don't know. You just waste so much damn time with your friends, but it was the best. You know, I think back and like I would sit around with my friends and do stupid shit. You know, and I don't even know, like no agenda, no, but it was like, it was awesome, you know? And I don't really do that kind of stuff as an adult as much.
And there's so much, seems like there's so much more time when you're a kid.
Yes.
Like today, after I went to the gym, I looked at the clock and I'm like, holy shit, it's 1:40. How does that happen?
Yeah. Yes.
But such is life, man. I don't get it, but yeah, it's a real thing.
Time just starts moving. Yeah, when you're young, it's like endless time and you feel like, yeah, I mean, you can, but yeah, and you get older, days just fly by. Like, oh.
And speaking of flying by, the first half of the show has flown by. Let's go to our good, close, personal friends, JT and Chad, and we will come back to talk about some more exciting shows in the second half of Songs with Friends.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the second half of Songs with Friends. Now, before we get into our next amazing piece of business, let's talk about some of the other shows here on the various Place to Be Nation feeds. Now, on the Place to Be Nation pop feed, after a 2-year hiatus, Dadcast is back. And JT and Dan talk a variety of annoyances, including potty training, lying, Nickelodeon shows, and more, including just trash bagging toys until the job gets done. It's an amazing listen.
It's amazing.
I'm a big Dadcast guy. I was very happy to see it come back. Russell and Sam deliver their season 1 finale of 90s to Nothing with a look at Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Now, I've never seen that movie. Have you seen that, Kelly?
I have.
I may have said this on the air. I don't remember. I worked at Six Flags at the time. And I was given, as part of my employment, tickets to see The Phantom Menace a week before it came out in the theaters. But I could not give a shit less about Star Wars. So I went to the school library and found the kids that were playing Magic the Gathering.
Oh my, stop it.
I had no beef with these kids. I thought, you know, they'd be interested in this. And I sold those tickets for $50 a piece. I had 2 tickets.
Holy crap.
Yep.
You know what? I really thought you were going to be like, you gave them to someone out of the kindness of your heart.
Nope. I was making $5.15 an hour to fold tacos in Cactus Jack's Cantina at Six Flags Kentucky Kingdom. I needed every bit of money I could get.
Oh my gosh.
So moving on the year in pop, host Andy and Scott are joined by J.R. Arsenio D'Amato and Dr. G to discuss the news, music, and movies of 1975. Pop goes to the movies with Andy Atherton's review of the new live-action Aladdin. The hard-traveling fanboys continue Avengers Month with an installment, Long Book Hunters, looking at New Avengers Volume 1 Breakout. The NBA team dropped a double shot of episodes, including Gone Fishing Part 1 and an NBA Finals Preview Pod Blast. This week in sports also found the Cowboy and D'Amato running down the NBA Finals and breaking down the series between Warriors and Raptors. Be sure to keep an eye on our social media feeds as a reboot of the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament is starting soon. And if any of you fuckers hack this tournament again, I swear to God, I will come to your house and I will kill your mothers. I'm tired of these people fucking up our good time.
I know, and the song ones are ones that really got, I got real excited about last time about that.
You can't tell me fucking Wham is that over in Yugoslavia or wherever the fuck, where we're getting these hundreds of fake votes. Fucking bullshit Brits won't let us have anything. All right, now over on the wrestling feed, on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Justin Scott and guest Jake Williams dive into the May 1989 Meadowlands House Show in episode 521. Then they're right back with a double dose of Saturday night's main event in May and July of 1989 with guest Peter Winson. I need to listen to that. That May 1989 Saturday night's main event is an all-time fucking banger of a show. And I know Kelly has no idea what I'm talking about.
Nope.
That's,
sorry.
That's the Big Boss Man getting superplexed off the top of the cage by the Hulkster brother. And
I know who they are, though. But anyways, awesome.
Yeah. Love the enthusiasm, Kel.
I'm going to watch it and report next show.
In the sixth episode of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben Zani welcomes Daniel Maccabee to talk music and his independent wrestling career. I apologize if I ruined your last name, Daniel. I'm looking forward to seeing you in SCI this summer. And finally, Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Willey recap Double or Nothing in classic TNA on the newest edition of Main Event. Check out our social media pages and message board over at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. And before we move on, a quick disclaimer. Place to Be Nation does not endorse the killing of anyone's mother for fucking with any polls. That was just me going off the cuff. The editors, site owners, domain holders, and whatnot of placetobenation.com, those are not their views. They were solely mine. So, yeah.
We're not really, they don't support Steve's views. Probably about anything.
No. Much like nobody supported me burning down the city of Chicago at All In. We're not going to hurt anyone's mother unless she tells us to.
Oh, my God.
All right, moving on.
Steven.
We went from 1976 all the way up to 1997 for our next song. This is from Third Eye Blind, self-titled 1997 album. This is Semi-Charmed Life. Now, this is a classic Songs with Friends style song. Just a very poppy, happy-sounding song that is just a dumpster fire beneath the surface. And that's what we do here. We jump into that dumpster. We live amongst the flames. We may get burned, we may not, but hey, we're going to have a good time doing it.
That's our slogan.
It is. Now, Kelly, are you ready to rock with this one?
Yes.
All right, let me move my cursor off the call.
But recorder. Why'd you pick it?
That's why I picked it, because it is just...
that reason. Oh, okay.
Because people would be singing just do-do-do-do-do-do-do, just happy as fuck.
Okay, I have this on my notes right here that I was going to make you sing the beginning of this, and you already did it.
I'm so here for you and for the listeners. For all my little...
If you skip that, I was going to be like, excuse me, go back.
For all my little songsters out there, we are ready to roll. All right, so we start with, I'm packed and I'm holding, I'm smiling, she's living, she's golden, she lives for me, says she lives for me, ovation, her own motivation. Now, this song was originally crafted as kind of a love letter to the city of San Francisco. And that's where I think the she's golden reference comes from.
Oh.
Do you have anything to add to that, Kelly?
I didn't know that at all. I didn't know that at all. No, now you're throwing me off. No, I was just thinking, I was thinking it was kind of like, you know, when you're kind of digging some chick and this is what's going on. But I guess digging a city is the same, I guess, idea. A lot of people are in love with the city they live in. So,
yes, as made famous by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, sang a whole damn love song for their city.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently California is the place to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Malibu, I mean, there's a ton of them out there.
Yeah, well, California is amazing. I'm on that train, so.
Allegedly, I wouldn't know.
I know. Such, you got to get over to the other side of the country.
All right, but here's where your lady theory gets some legs here. She comes round and she goes down on me.
Mm-hmm.
This was on the radio.
I know.
But he's so sing-songy and poppy when he says it. She comes round and she goes down on me. Like, what the fuck? He just slipped that in there.
It's amazing. Tone is everything.
It really is.
It really is.
Like Andre 3000 once famously said in the most depressing happy song of all, "Hey, y'all don't want to hear me. You just want to dance." Yeah. He said it right there on the record. While people are out there shaking their asses like a Polaroid picture.
Yes. Oh, shit.
"And I make her smile like a drug for you. Do ever what you want to do. Coming over you. Keep on smiling what we go through. One stop to the rhythm that divides you." This whole stanza is about fucking.
Yeah.
"Make her smile, yes, like a drug for you. Do ever what you want. Coming over you." He's just fucking skeeting all over the place. And I think the rhythm that divides you is a reference to his penis.
Oh my gosh, Steve. Yeah, you're probably right.
Like Naughty My Nature said.
I would have never thought of that.
It's the part that goes into the part that spreads apart. The divide, so to speak.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're not wrong.
So this song is very quickly just slipping down the slope. Just fucking dumpster fire territory already.
And I think I knew, like, I don't know, but I feel like I knew a lot of these lyrics from just hearing it. If the song was on the fucking radio, like, all the time, I feel, you know, back then.
It was on the radio every 25 minutes, and it was in every third movie that came out.
Yes, yes. It was in, it just seemed like it was everywhere, you know?
At the very least, you hear, watch a movie, you hear, do, 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 and then there's, oh, these crazy characters are at it again, you know?
Oh, shit.
"And I speak to you like the chorus to the verse. Chop another line like a coda with a curse. Come on like a freak show takes the stage. We give them the games we play," she say. So, yeah, he is now just straight up chopping lines on fucking Top 40 radio, splitting up the cocaine. Not a single fuck given.
Isn't this song about crystal meth somewhere?
Yes.
I'm not there yet. Okay.
We're building there. It's a...
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It is a treasure trove of stimulants.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's wild. I'm like shocked right now. So I was kind of thinking, I always do this because I don't know where my brain goes, but this is like that, you know, sometimes feeling like you're in love or falling in love could be like you're on drugs. So I was kind of thinking he was referencing, but I think he's like, no, he's like really doing this shit. No,
literally drugs. And probably doing them with a partner.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes, you will see these codependent people who are on drugs and also addicted to each other. And it's Whitney and Bobby. You know, they are just in this mess together, going further and further down the rabbit hole of fuckery. But hey, at least they have each other.
Yeah.
At a combined weight of 198 pounds between them.
Fuck the world, but we got each other.
Exactly.
So, that's like the worst thing you need. If you're a drug addict or a codependent, whatever, you don't need another one of those.
"Oh, give them the games we play," she say. "I want something else to get me through this semi-charm kind of life, baby. I want something else. I'm not listening when you say goodbye." So it sounds like almost one of them wants separation, but like, nope, party's going to keep going. I didn't hear you.
Well, did you ever know couples like that? They were just like, break up, be back together, break up. It's like, they broke up with me. I don't fucking care. We're still going out. Like...
Yeah, as previously documented on an episode of Songs with Friends, I'm very familiar with that premise.
Was that you? I guess.
There were no drugs involved, but yeah, that was us.
Well, you know.
So, the sky was gold. It was rose. I was taking sips of it up until my nose.
Oh.
And I wish I could get back there, someplace back there, smiling in the pictures you would take. Doing crystal meth will lift you up until you break. What? Oh. Again, on the radio. Most of the time, they wouldn't edit that either. It would just go.
I know. I was reading about that because they were saying that, some of the stuff I was saying was like they would just leave crystal meth in there. But what's crazy, and I don't know about where you lived, but I think crystal meth, like where I lived, I felt like it wasn't as big of a problem. I mean, it's still a drug, obviously, but like, I don't know. It seemed like it was new during, like, when I was in high school. And that's freaking crazy because that shit's bad, you know? But I was like, yeah. I don't know how they got away with that.
I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but I think certain things were absolutely put into the environment by the government for whatever reason. Like crack. You know, like, what makes someone on their own decide, hey, you know what? You mix this up with some baking soda, you cook it up, and you can stretch the shit out and sell it for cheaper. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you have the drugs, you don't want to waste the drugs by experimenting in your damn kitchen.
Yeah.
Same with crystal meth. Like, who decided, all right, you mix this shit together, you put it in a fucking Mountain Dew bottle, burp it every so often.
Yeah. You can do it all kinds of ways.
You know, someone with an education figured this out and then got it out into the street somehow.
Very Breaking Bad.
It is.
No, there is a weird, I always think this in general, but I know I'm like, all these, there are people who come up with shit that you know they're smart, but they are lazy. You know what I mean? Like, I always think, because I work at a bank, people come up with the, like, very sly ways to, like, get money from people, you know? And you're just, and get credit card numbers and all kinds of shit. And I'm like, man, if you're smart enough to like make that technology or do whatever, like you could have a good job, like an honest paying job and probably make pretty good money. But they're like, I can sit at home. You know, I don't got to listen to anyone, you know, and I can do my drugs and do whatever and not have to go to work. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's playing the short game and not the long game. You know, how long are you willing to keep up that energy?
Yeah.
Speaking of keeping up that energy, this song, the frenetic energy of this song is very much reminiscent of someone on stimulants. Just very happy-go-lucky, but super fast. And then every so often it slows down. But then when it slows down, it rambles. It is, oh man, it's a trip on its own.
That's pretty amazing way to look at it too, yep.
It says, doing crystal meth will lift you up until you break. It won't stop. It won't stop. I keep stuck with the TikTok rhythm. I bumped for the drop and then I bumped up. I took the hit that I was given, that I bumped again, that I bumped again. He can't stop, won't stop with these drugs.
And they're letting all those terminologies go. Above. And
I think they were so happy not to have to censor fuck. They're like, you know what, bumped, let's just go with it. Just play it.
Yeah, just go with it. Oh, man.
It says, how do I get back there to the place where I fell asleep inside you? Again, just on the radio.
Yes.
Imagine how on drugs you have to be to literally fall asleep while inside someone. God. It's like the train is going, boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden you're off the fucking tracks and it's done. You've hit your wall. And now
you got Hugo upset.
I'm angry Hugo from banging on the table.
Well, there is, because I have not experienced this, but I have had friends that have experienced this type of thing, and it's drug or alcohol related every time, you know. So it's not like, oh, we were just, you know, hanging around the house, went to bed, got it on, and this happened. I mean, there was, you know, something involved that this happened. So
yeah, that just sounds like that's not a good time.
No,
especially if you're on the receiving end of this and you're kind of close to the finish line. Next thing you know, dude's on top of you snoring. You got to figure out how to get this man off you safely.
It's actually pretty dangerous.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of obstacles in the way there.
I think it's a really weird statement. I don't understand. Yeah, weird. Did they write this song? Did you look at that?
Oh, let's scroll to the bottom here. says if it credits, it does not credit on the site that I'm on. Google,
oh, okay.
Google was all jacked up and had stuff missing, so I went to Genius for this. So yeah, it doesn't have the creditor at the end. All right, where was I? Let's see, scrolling back up. All right. Place where I fell asleep inside you. Again, just imagine running that hard that you just run out of fuel mid-hump and you're snoring. It's just crazy.
Very inconsiderate. Very inconsiderate.
Very much so. How do I get myself back to the place where you said, I want something else to get me through this semi-trump kind of life? And that same thing again. So we go back into, here's where he kind of slows down. And he's talking, yes. He's just talking complete fucking nonsense at this point. Because he's high. I believe in the sand beneath my toes. The beach gives a feeling, an earthly feeling. I believe in the faith that grows. What? And in the four right chords can make me cry. And when I'm with you, I feel like I could die. And that would be all right. All right. So now they're chill. He's saying, you know, as long as I'm with you, I'm together. We're not, you know, we're not all fucking manic right now. I can hear this song and it strings emotions with me because I'm all chemically unstable. But then, all of a sudden, someone lights that pipe back up. Because then fucking business picks up again.
Wait a minute. I wrote, did you know, I like that part of that song. I don't know why, but when it says, I went on with you, I feel like I could die and that would be all right. I always thought that was kind of sweet.
It's these two people that are so fucked up, nobody else is ever going to love them.
Yeah. Well, you know, like moments where you just feel happiness and content. You're like, if I die, this is not like in a bad, but you know, like if I went to bed tonight and I died, it wouldn't be like the worst day that happened or whatever. I don't know. Like that, I think that's like a,
yeah, it would be closing out highlight. On, yeah. Closing out on a high note.
Yeah. Like this was an awesome fucking day. Cool. You know, but that's like the highlight of this song to me that kind of made me go, oh, okay. Yeah. That's kind of sweet. But then,
so then, like I said, they're calm and they're feeling all sentimental, but then somebody sparks up the crystal meth again. And when the plane come in, she says she was crashing.
Yes.
The velvet rips in the city. We tripped on the urge to feel alive. Now I'm struggling to survive. Like, what the fuck?
What is happening? Oh.
Says those days you were wearing that velvet dress. You're the priestess, I must confess. Those little red panties, they passed the test. Slide around the belly, face down on the mattress.
Holy shit!
And that, it would always kind of, like, that part would linger when I heard, that was the first thing I heard on the radio that made me go, huh, that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. Slide up around the belly, face down on the
mattress. At the age of 15 or 16 or however old I would have been when this was nonstop on the radio. So those little red panties are passing the test and then your belly face down on the mattress. Like, damn, they are just methed out and humping. It's probably a mattress on the floor. Like, there's probably a big stain on it.
Tinfoil on the windows. No, I'm just kidding.
But then he slows down again just for a minute. And you hold me. Oh, we are broken. Like, wow.
Oh, I know.
But then he picks back up immediately. This is a shorter period of peace. Still, it's all that I want to do just a little now. Feel myself hovering off the ground. Like, he's running down on his supply. I just need a little bit more just to get me through.
Yeah.
Feel myself getting high. I'm scared. I'm not coming down. No, no. And I won't run for my life. She's got her jaws now locked down in a smile. But nothing is all right. All right. This is just all over the place. Frenetic energy. I'm with you and I feel good when I'm with you. But at the same time, I know that what we're doing is ruining me and us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then absolutely. He just calmly says, and I want something else to get me through this life. Not listening when you say goodbye 4 times.
Yeah. You could say it 50 times, bitch. I'm coming back. No, I'm just kidding.
We go back into the chorus. He kind of fades out to, the sky was gold, it was rose. I was taking sips up into my nose. And I wish I could get back there someplace back there in the place we used to start our lives. And the very last thing he says as they fade to black is, I want something else. So yeah, it really falls apart at the end there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I feel like if you, like, my brain works on such a weird function anyways, like I couldn't see doing all this kind of stuff for like an extended period of life. Cause it's like I feel like I think like that anyways. And I, it's okay. I think it's okay to say. I have a brother that used to do crystal meth, and it was like very strange because I almost felt like was like kind of more calm most of the time when I realized he was high or something. But it was, but that was in a serious note, like that shit is fucked up and it's very like addictive and hard. And he had to like totally move to get his shit together. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I feel like the long-term impact on your brain has to be fucking wild. Like what's in that shit. It's crazy.
Yeah. There are some drugs, you know, having worked with people who do drugs and some of this stuff, you know, kind of fuck with you for a little bit, but you slowly start to get it back. And some of it, you're like, nope, the circuitry's fried. There's no coming back for you. So best of luck. This is the new you. I hope you're proud of yourself, you dumb fuck.
Like those pictures of people that do crystal meth for 10 years. Because my brother was nothing like that. But, you know, 10 years of crystal meth and like their teeth are gone and they're like, you know, it's like they're missing. And they just look horrible. That's like someone smoking weed for 10 years. It's like they might look the same, you know, so. It's kind of interesting, but it's sad at the same time. I read on there, though, oddly, I did see that San Francisco thing, but I also had thought I'd seen it was like a response to A Walk on the Wild Side from like.
Yes, that is accurate. Okay.
Yeah, so that's also another interesting song. So what a pick. But the lead singer did write it. So it's from, I guess, his perspective of life.
So. What a perspective, you know?
What a perspective, yes.
I mean, this and Jumper were the same album, so clearly he was in a good headspace.
Yeah, he was in a good... We should check on how he is now.
All right, so this is the part of the show where we do our song picks for next time. And I actually had to rule out a song. I will go ahead and let the people know. I was going to go with Toby Keith. I can't even think of what the song's called now. His first big hit in like 2000. Damn it.
Boots anyway. In Your Ass or something.
No. It was before that. How Do You Like Me Now? That's the song.
Oh.
But there just wasn't much there. It was two very short verses and it wouldn't be enough to pull together a song. But while I was on that early 2000s country music kind of mindset, I decided to change course. We're going with Kenny Chesney with The Good Stuff.
Oh my gosh. I have a lot of comments on Kenny Chesney, so this will be fun. Awesome.
Kelly, what will you be bringing before us next time?
We are going to do Shimmer by Fuel.
Fantastic pick.
Yes. One of my faves. I love that song, so.
All right, guys, we hope you're following us on Twitter. We are at PTBN_songs. Follow us there. At the very least, you'll get the announcements for when the next show drops. We also do kind of put some content on there from time to time. We've been a little slow lately, but I do plan on picking that back up. Don't forget to email us at PTBNSongsOfFriends@gmail.com. You know, we are happy to take song requests. We may or may not actually do the songs, but, you know, we'll listen to you. Also, August, is it 2nd and 3rd? We are going to be in Chattanooga, Tennessee for the Scenic City Invitational in an unofficial capacity. I might just set up a table anyway to fuck with Dylan. But while we're there, if you're staying at the main hotel where everyone is, at the Best Western Heritage Inn in Chattanooga, you know, DM us. Let us know if you would like to be on. We will post something on the Twitter account closer to the show date to get more organized. But yeah, we're open to guest recordings during that weekend. So get at us. Let us know what works for you and we will try to work you in. I think that's all I have. Kelly, anything you want to plug?
No, I'm good.
All right, guys. For Kelly, I'm Steve. Thanks for listening to Songs with Friends. We will try to do better next time.